Today's shir is Masechta Chagiga Daf Beis. We begin the Masechta Beis of Hashem. Masechta Chagiga, the first part of the Masechta, discusses the Chiyuv Kabbonis, the obligation which Kabbonis had to be brought on each of the Sholosh Regolim. The Torah tells us regarding the Yom Tovim, the number of Pesukim. One passage the Torah says, Sholosh Pamim B'Shana Yirah Kol Zuchurcha Es Pnei Hashem Alakecha B'chag HaMatzes, B'chag HaShuois, B'chag HaSukois, V'lo Yirah Es Pnei Hashem Reikom. That we have to come to be Oyle Regal, and when we come to be Oyle Regal, we can't come, so to speak, empty-handed. From here, Chazal taught us, teach us, there's an obligation to bring an Oyles Re'iyah. An Oyles Re'iyah is a carbon Oyle that's brought when one comes to be Oyle Regal. There's another chiyuv. The Torah says Sholosh Regolim Tochoy Gli B'Shana. Three times a year we have to bring a carbon chagiga. And then another obligation is Shalmei Simcha. The Torah says V'Samachta B'Chagecha. And each one of the Yom Tovim we have to have Simcha. The way we accomplish that Simcha is by bringing carbon Shlomim, which the meat of that carbon, some of it is burnt on the Mizbeach, some of it is given to the Kohanim, and some of them are eaten by the people who bring the carbon. And the first part of our Masechta discusses the obligation of Aliyah L'Regel and the Karbonos that are brought along when Klal Yisrael came to be Oyle L'Regel. Teach us the Mishnah. Hakol Chayovim B'Riyah, everyone is obligated in the mitzvah of Re'iyah. So Rashi says Re'iyah means B'Riyah's ponim, that we have to come Lazars Bazar B'Regel, we have to come to the Azara on Yom Tov. However, points out Tosfos that the obligation of Aliyah L'Regel is not just limited to coming to the Azara. Says Tosfos that part of the obligation is to bring a carbon. And Tosfos says that Rashi doesn't disagree with that point. Rashi mentions one aspect of the mitzvah, but certainly the mitzvah has two parts to it, the actual coming to the Azara, but also bringing karbonos. Tosfos, however, quotes a Yerushalmi that seems to hold that these two mitzvahs are independent of each other. There's one mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel, and there's another mitzvah of bringing karbonos. And it seems that the Rambam agrees with the Yerushalmi's position, although the Minchas Chinuch points out that if one were to come to the Azara empty-handed, wouldn't it be considered a mitzvah haba b'aveira? The mitzvah that he came to the Azara, but coming without a carbon, shouldn't be considered a mitzvah b'aveira. However, it does point out to Minchas Chinuch that according to the Rambam, we could have a situation of somebody coming and being mekayim the mitzvah Aliyah L'Regel, and it should not be a mitzvah haba b'aveira if one were to come at night when kabbonis may not be brought. He will be mekayim the mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel, and there will be no aveira involved because there's no kabbonis brought at night. So everyone has to be mekayim this mitzvah, chutz micheresh, someone who's a deaf mute, shaita, the cotton. The tumtum means someone who, simonim, if he's a male or a female, are covered, and therefore we cannot know if he's a male or a female. And droginus refers to someone who has both the simonim of a male and a female. Noshim, women, vavodim shenem shachrarim, and slaves who have not been freed. Mefarshim ask, if a tumtum ven androgynous, who have both the simonim of a male and a female, are still exempt from the mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel, then certainly a woman who only has the simonim of a woman should be exempt. Why does the Mishnah have to mention Nashim? Perhaps we'll be able to say a teretz as we get into the Gemara. Mitzvah Hashem, Hachiger, someone who is lame, Hasuma, someone who is blind, the Chayla, someone who is elderly, Umish and Yochel Alas Baraglov, somebody who can't go up to the Beis HaMikdash by foot. We'll see someone who can't go without shoes, and on the base of Mikdash, one was not allowed to wear shoes. All of these people are obligated to, are exempt from the mitzvah Aliyah L'Regel. The Yad David quotes a Rosh, interestingly, who says that when one came to be Aliyah L'Regel, he would make a bracha of Asher Kedishonu Mitzvos V'Tzvonu Lalus L'Regel. Other Rishonim don't quote this bracha. However, many Paiskim do seem to indicate that when someone came to be Oyla L'Regel, he would make the bracha of Shechiyonu V'Kimonu V'Agiyonu L'Azman Hazeh. The Turi Evan asks, why does our Mishnah have to teach us that Avodim Shenim Shmichrorim, who we're going to discuss more in Mitzvashem in the Gemara, are exempt from Aliyah L'Regel? The Gemara teaches the Misha and Lekaka, one who doesn't own any property in Eretz Yisrael, is exempt from Aliyah L'Regel. And the Eved can't own property, because as the Turi Evan explains, even were an Eved to have the funds to buy property, Yovel, at the time of Yovel, everything goes back to its original owner. And given that this is not a permanent ownership of property, they should anyway be exempt from being Oyla L'Regel. So one Teretz of Turi Evan says is that our Mishnah is referring to an Eved who married a woman, and he was her Yairish, and he Yarshined her property. That property remains his forever, and that's why he's considered someone who owns property and may be exempt from Aliyah, may be Chayv and Aliyah L'Regel, if not for the fact that he was an Eved. Another Teretz is perhaps the Mishnah is referring to a time where Yovel was not, the laws of Yovel were not in effect, but the Aliyah L'Regel was still in effect. Sfas Emes says, as we've learned, there are homes in Eretz Yisrael that are called Batei Eirechayma, homes in cities that have walls. And the halacha regarding those homes are that normally when one sells a home, he can't buy it back for a certain amount of time, and afterwards he can, and if he doesn't, by Yovel, it returns to him anyway. However, by Batei Eirechayma, the reverse is true. He has to redeem it immediately. If he doesn't redeem it immediately, the halachas of Yovel do not apply, and they do not go back to the original owner. And our Mishnah perhaps is referring to an Eved that bought such a home. Another teretz that the Sfas Emes suggests is that when the halacha is that someone who doesn't own property doesn't have to be Oyla L'Regel, it means that he doesn't have to go from his home, wherever he lived in Eretz Yisrael, to be Oyla L'Regel. However, if he finds himself in Yerushalayim, says the Sfas Emes, even though he doesn't own any property, he still has to be Oyla L'Regel. That's the case that our Mishnah is referring to. Our Mishnah taught us that one of the people who are exempt from being Oyla L'Regel is a katan. However, there is an obligation of chinuch on a katan. So ask the Mishnah, Ezu katan, at what point is the katan, until what point is the katan exempt from being Oyla L'Regel, and when does it become obligated because of chinuch? Says Beishamai, Kol she'ani yochel lirchav akseif of shalaviv. If he cannot ride on his father's shoulders, allows from Yerushalayim l'Arbayis, and go from Yerushalayim to Arbayis, he is exempt from being Oyla L'Regel. Divrei Beishamai, that's the cotton that's exempt. Beishela Oymrim, Kol she'ani yochel lechois b'yodah shalaviv. If he can't hold on to his father's hand, allows from Yerushalayim l'Arbayis, and go from Yerushalayim to Arbayis, Shenema Sholosh Regolim. The Torah says the words Sholosh Regolim, which means feet. The person going up has to be able to walk up to the Harabayis, to Mekayim Mitzvahs Aliyah L'Regel. Even though, as the Menachem Meshev Nefesh explains, he's a child anyway, but says the Menachem Meshev, chinuch of children has to mirror what the chiv will be when they will be adults. And since an adult is only chayiv and aliyah l'regel, if he can actually sholosh regolim, if he can actually walk up to the Har Habayis, so too is the child, only the child that can walk, obligated to be oyla l'regel. The child that can't walk is not obligated to be oil l'regel. The Mefarshim ask that it says here to go to be oil l'regel means to go up to Har Habayis. But the Mefarshim ask, isn't the obligation to be oil l'regel not to Har Habayis, but rather the obligation to be oil l'regel is to the Azora, where the Kabonis were brought? So why does our Mishnah mention Har Habayis? So actually the Chazon Ish says that that's exactly what our Mishnah means. Har Habayis, the Azora is on the Har Habayis. Tosfos Yontif says that the incline, it was much steeper to go from Yerushalayim to the Har Habayis than from the Har Habayis to the Azora. If a child is able to go up to the Har Habayis, explains the Tosfos Yontif, certainly he will be able to walk up to the Azora, and that child will be obligated to be oil l'regel. Dor Sameach explains, because the halacha he says is that if Chazal decided that they wanted to expand the area of the Azara, as long as it's within the confines of the Har Habayis, they may. So really, all of the Har Habayis, says the Dor Sameach, to a degree, has the din of Har Habayis, and of the din of Azara, and that's what the Mishnah means when it says Har Habayis. But there's another answer given, which is based on a machloikus rishonim. Tosfos teaches us that when our Mishnah tells us that a katan has, that we have an obligation to be mechanech a child in the mitzvah of aliyah l'regel, teaches us Tosfos that chinuch doesn't only apply to the coming to the Azara, but it also applies to bringing a carbon, that the child will have to bring Oilus Luria from Chinuch. Rashi, it seems, and the Rambam say that there will not be an obligation for the cotton to bring carbon Oilus Luria. He only has to appear in the Har Habayis. Say to Mefarshim, according to the Rashi and Rambam's position, that a cotton only comes to the Beis HaMikdash, but he doesn't have to bring a carbon. Our Mishnah is very exact when it uses the words Har Habayis. For why is the reason when one is oil l'regel must he go to the Azara? Because the Azara is where the Kabbanis were brought. The Kabbanis may only be brought in the Azara. So an adult that's being oil l'regel has to come to the Azara, otherwise he can't bring a carbon. However, a child, he's not bringing a carbon. He only has to come to the Beis HaMikdash. That he can accomplish just by going to the Har Habayis. Tosfos does agree that even though he holds that chinuch includes bringing, that the child not only come, but he bring a carbon, he agrees that on the first day of Yontif, the child cannot bring a carbon. For Tosfos says, bringing a carbon is really a malacha that should be prohibited on Yontif. Just the Torah says that's the mitzvah to bring karbanos on Yontif. So only one who has an absolute obligation to bring a carbon brings a carbon on Yontif. A child who's bringing a carbon only b'tkanes chazal is like bringing a neder and a dova. And as we have learned, the darim v'nedova is einan kraven b'yontif and not brought in Yontif. There's a very interesting Rashi here. Rashi, when he discusses the obligation of chinuch of children, says hatilu chachamim al oviv val imoy lechanchay b'mitzvus. So Rashi seems to point out that the obligation of chinuch applies both to the father and mother, which is actually the Trumas Hadeshin's position. The Trumas Hadeshin holds that a mother has an obligation in chinuch just like a father. He brings a raya from a famous Gemara Masechta Sukkah. The Gemara discusses Hilni Hamalka constructed a sukkah, wanted to know how her children could sit with her in the sukkah. So you see that Hilni Hamalka, the mother, was involved in the chinuch of the children of Mitzvah Sukkah. However, the Magen Avraham and most Paiskim disagree, and they say that the obligation of chinuch is an obligation limited to the father, not to the mother. The Mishnah Masechta Sukkah about Hilni Hamalka only discusses something that what she did, but not that she was obligated to do. However, from the Mishnah Berurah and from other Paiskim, it seems that even though a mother is not obligated in a chinuch, What Rashi perhaps means to say is that it's the mother's obligation to set up an environment in the home that will be conducive to the chinuch. It will be conducive for the father to be able to be mechanech his children. Some mepharshim, some pais can take it a step further. Just like we know the Gemara Masechta Ksubas discusses, what are the obligations of a wife to a husband? One of the obligations of a wife to a husband is that she should develop an environment in the home that the husband should be able to be mechanech the children. And in this issue of chinuch, the question is, we see here that a cher shoyt v'katna, our Mishnah clearly tells us, is part of a mitzvah. Only there's an obligation of chinuch. And the question that Paiskim ask is, when we say that a cher shoyt v'katna are part of a mitzvah, does it mean that the part of a mitzvah, I say, they do not have an independent personal obligation to be mekayim mitzvahs to say, or does it also apply to mitzvahs lois say that they're not chayiv? The question will come up. Chametz on Pesach. We know that chametz shavol of a Pesach is usur. One may not use chametz shavol of a Pesach. The question is, what will be the halacha if a child owned chametz of a Pesach, which is a lav, a bayra, a bayimotza? Is that considered chametz shavol of a Pesach because the child was over by Rabbi Yimotza, or there is no chiyuv chinuch? Some Paiskim, the Prima Gadim says that it will not be chametz shavol of a Pesach. Other Paiskim seem to say that there will be an isra by Rabbi Yimotza. And yet I found a third shita that seems to draw a distinction between different types of lavin. There's certain lavin that involve an action. Macholos asuris. One's not allowed to eat something not kosher. So there, a child is exempt. But by raw, by matzah, which doesn't involve an action, that perhaps a child will not be exempt from. Mishnah now discusses the minimum value of the karbonis that are brought. B'sham ha'imrim ha'riyah, the oilus riyah must be worth at least a kasef, 2 silver mas. For chagiga, must be worth at least a more kesef. The riyah has to be worth at least a marv kesef. The chagiga has to be worth shtei kesef, 2 mas. Our Mishnah began with the words hakol chayovim b'riyah. Ask the Gemara hakol l'suyimai. Who do we want to include when we use the word hakol to include somebody that's not listed explicitly in the Mishnah? Says the Gemara, "Lasuyei mishechetzi eved dechetzi ben chayrim." It comes to include that someone who's half eved and half ben chayrim is obligated in riyah. Ask the Gemara, "Ula Ravina." According to Ravina, that holds mishechetzi eved dechetzi ben chayrim. It's part of a riyah, so he's not obligated in the riyah. Hakol asuyimai. Now, explained the Mefarshim, we can understand why a Mishnah mentions Noshim. Because since an Isha is potter from Re'iyah, so an Eved who's compared to an Isha is also exempt. But now we understand why the Mishnah mentioned Noshim. And according to Ravina, even an Eved who is half free and half not free is also exempt. Why? Because as the Ravina will explain to us in the Gemara, the pasuk says, "Shalosh pam b'shana yirah kol zochurcha es pnei odin Hashem." Mish yesh le odin echad. Only one who has one owner is obligated. And Re'iyah yotza. This person who has two owners, he has Hashem as his owner, but he also has the odin over him. The farshim explain, how could one become a chetzi eved and chetzi ben chayrim? If one was owned by two brothers or owned by two partners, and one of the partners freed him and one of the partners did not free him. The Bar Tanura gives another example. He gives the example of one who was able to collect enough money to free himself partially. And again, all the Mepharshim explained that doesn't necessarily have to be 50-50, as long as partially free and partially still an Eved. However, the Chasam Sofer explains that an Eved who was able to free himself partially is not included in the case of Misha Chetzi Eved Chetzi Ben Chayrim. For some Soif explains, as we're going to learn in the Gemara, that the Machlokes Mishnah Rishayna and Mishnah Achrayna, if such a person has to be freed, says the Chassam Sofer, even according to the Mishnah Rishayna, that someone who's partially in Eved and partially free does not have to be freed, that's a person who was freed by one owner and the other owner didn't free him. So the owner didn't free him, says, why do I have to free him? But if there's only one owner and that one owner accepted partial payment for his freedom, says the Chassam Sofer, even the Mishnah Rishayna would agree that the owner has to complete his freedom. He shouldn't have left this Eved in this ambiguous status. So if that's the case, that somebody who's Chetzi Eved, Chetzi Ben Chayrim is exempt from Riyah, we ask, what does the Hakol come to teach us? Teaches us the Gemara, Lasuya Chiga B'Yom Rishon. It comes to teach us someone who was lame on the first day of Yontif, v'nispashet b'yom sheni, and became healed on the second day Yontif. And he should bring the kabbonis, he couldn't bring it, he was exempt the first day, he could bring it on the other days. Ask the Gemara, ha nich l'man d'omer kulon tashlum zelazer, that every day of Yontif has its own obligation. So this person couldn't bring a carbon the first day, but he'll bring carbon on the other days. El amanda amma kulam tashlumin the rishon, that tashlumin the other days of Yontif the carbon is brought is only someone who's obligated to bring the carbon on the first day. And if this person wasn't obligated on the first day because he was a chigur on the first day, so he doesn't have to bring on the rest of Yontif. So again, we're back to where we started. Lasuye mai, what does Hakol come to teach us? So Taifa says the Gemara could have given an example of somebody who was a chiger at the beginning of the first day of Yontif, and then in the course of the first day of Yontif, he got healed. Says Taisus, such a person is obviously chayiv to bring a carbon, and that cannot be the case that the Mishnah is referring to. The Farshim ask that we said, when we learned the Mishnah, that Taisus says that a person who was a cotton on the first day Yontif is obligated to bring a carbon, but can't bring it because it's Yontif, should bring it on the rest of the Yontif. Ask the Rishonim, but according to the Mandamid, if you can't bring the first day Yontif, you don't bring the rest of Yontif, how could this cotton bring on the other days? So the Mefarshim draw a distinction between someone who's inherently disqualified, like a Chiger on the first day of Yontif, versus someone who is not inherently disqualified, he just was a cotton, and Chazal did not allow him to bring a carbon on the other days. On the first day of Yontif, he could bring on the other days. In fact, the Shail Sechuvas Michtam with David discusses the Shaila, if there was a child who at the beginning of Yontif was a cotton and became a godel in the course of Yontif, such a child, he says, even according to Man D'Omer, that the Kabbonis are Tashlumim for the first day, would be Mechuyif to bring a carbon on the other days of Yontif. Says the Gemara suggests that Hakel comes to teach us the Suyei Suma Ba'achs Me'enov, someone who's blind with one of her eyes. The Loitai Tana, not like this Tana, the Tanya Yoichanan ben Dahave Oimer Meshur Rabbi Yehuda Suma Ba'achs Me'enov Pot Menoria. If somebody is blind in one eye, he's exempt from Riyah. Shnema Yira Yira. The Torah, when it discusses the Chiyuv of Oyla Regal, says Sholosh B'Ham B'Shana Yira calls a Churchas Pnei Adam Hashem Elkei Yisrael. So teaches us the Gemara Kederach Shabal Leirois Kach Bal Leirois. As Rashi explains, every word in the Torah has a Kri, the way it's pronounced, and a Ksiv, the way it's written. Here the Torah compares Yira Yira. So Rashi says it's both referring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Mal Lirois, just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to see us b'shtei enof, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu kaviyochel, vision is perfect, af Liroi ois, he should be seen b'shtei enof with two eyes. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be seen with two eyes, and therefore someone who doesn't have two eyes is exempt. The other explained that the Yira Yira is speaking to the person. Just like a person sees HaKadosh Baruch Hu with two eyes, only a person who sees HaKadosh Baruch Hu with two eyes, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu has two eyes, so speaking to the person, he should see and be seen only a person with two eyes. Yet Rashi, in Masechta Sanhedrin, explains that one ear is referring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and one is to the person. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he is seen when he has two eyes, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu has two eyes, so to the person that sees him should have two eyes, otherwise he's exempt. Mefarshim point out that the Gemara, so to speak, is somewhat different when it speaks about this issue of a Suma versus a Chetzi Eved, Chetzi Min Chayrim. They explain, when the Gemara first suggested that our Mishnah is coming to teach us L'suyei Misha Chetzi Eved V'Chetzi Ben Chayrim, there the Mishnah said, or the Gemara says, well, it won't work with what Ravina said, and therefore it's not an acceptable teretz. Here the Gemara says, Sum V'Echas Meinov could be what the Mishnah means, just it won't agree with what Yochanan Ben Dehavei said. Why? He said, because Yochanan Ben Dehavei was a Tana. A Tana can argue with the Mishnah. So our Mishnah will hold the Summa Ba'achs Me'enov is Potter, and Yochim Ben Dahavai will hold that the Summa Ba'achs Me'enov is Potter. However, Ravina is an Amira. He can't argue with the Mishnah. So if our Mishnah holds that a Chetzi Eved, Chetzi Ben Chayim is Chayiv to be Oil Regal, Ravina cannot argue on an explicit, on a din in a Mishnah. The Noam Elimelech explains homiletically, why is the halacha that someone who's a suma ba'achs me'enov potter miriya? She explains because HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a person with two eyes. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu create us this way with two eyes? One eye was created to see Godless Habayre, the greatness of Hashem. And the other eye was created Lirois Shiflois Atmai, that a person should see how low and how insignificant he is. A person who suma ba'achas me'enov, a person who doesn't have that ability to see what he really is, that he's not what he is compared to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he is not a person that can become to Oil Regal. That's how Ramey Shapiro would say is pshat in the pasuk that says regarding Moshe Rabbeinu, like Kasa Einoi, Moshe Rabbeinu, even to the last moment when he was the great Moshe Rabbeinu, his Einoi, his eye, Lirois Shiflus Atzmai, never went away. And Pnei Menachem explains according to this, we could understand what the Torah teaches us about Bilam. The Torah says that Bilam was Shesum Ha'ayin. He was blind in one eye. Bilam was a Navi. He saw Godless Habayre, but he did not see Shiflus Atzmai. And that's why he says, we know when Bilam was going towards Balak, and the Malach was preventing him from getting to that destination, the Malach says, you want to destroy a nation that celebrates Sholosh Regalim. And the Mefarshim asked, why from all the Yom Tov, why from all the mitzvahs did they speak about Sholosh Regalim? But according to this Gemara, it's very understood. Bilam was a person who was not able to be Oil Regal. He was a Suma Be'achas Me'enov. He didn't have the ability to see Shiflus Atzmai. And the Malach said, you can't be Oil Regal, but Klal Yisrael, who have this wonderful quality that they're able not only to see Godless Habayre, but they're also able to see Shiflus Atzmam, they are people that could be Oil Regal. Vibay Seima, the Gemara gives another teretz, that the Hakol, what does the Hakol at the beginning of our Mishnah come to teach us? It comes to teach us L'Oilam Ka'amri Mikara, as we suggested at the beginning of the Gemara. It comes to teach us that a Chetzi Eved and Chetzi Bechayrim is obligated in Oil Regal. Ooh, the Kakash L'Chad Ravina. But we asked the question. Ravina said that such a person is exempt from being Oil Regal. Answers the Gemara like Kasha. Kama Mishnah Rishayna. The first rule, the Ravina goes according to the first Mishnah that Beis Hillel says that such an Eved does not have to be freed. Kama Mishnah Achrayna, the word Hakol is going according to the final Mishnah that everyone agrees that such an Eved must be freed. The Tanan. We learned in a Mishnah, Masechta Gittin. Misha Chetzi Eved V'Chetzi Ben Chayrim, somebody who's a partial Eved and partial Ben Chayrim. Oved is Rabbi V'Shiyam Echad V'Atzma Yom Echad. He works for his master for one day, and he works for himself for one day. Divrei Beis Hillel. Amalam Beis Shammai. So Beis Shammai says, this approach to Kantamus Rabbi, you've remedied the situation for his master. Master doesn't lose anything. However, Ves Atzmai Leitakantam, you have not helped this Evid. Lisa Shivcha Eni Yochel. He can't marry a slave woman because he is partially free. And he has a din of a Jew. And the din is that a Jew is not allowed to marry a Shivcha. The Pasuk says, Lo Yia Kaddish. Bas Chayr Eni Yochel, on the other hand, he can't marry a regular free woman because he also, an Eved, is not allowed to marry a regular free woman. Livatel, should he not get married? V'loyloy nivra oylem el lepir rivya. The world was created to be populated. Shenemar, loy sabra l'sheves yitzara. Elmem p'nei tikkun oylem for the betterment of society. Kaifnes rabbi v'oysenes abet chayrim. We force his master to free him. V'koysolov shtar al chatzidomov. He has to write a shtar, he has to write a document, an IOU to his owner for half his value. The Chazru Beis Hillel heard this Beis Shammai. Beis Hillel agreed with Beis Shammai that this Chatzi Eved, the Chatzi Ben Chayrim, has to be freed, and therefore, even though, explained the Mefarshim, he's not yet free, we already consider him free, and he therefore is obligated to be Oyla L'Regel. So when the Mishnah says Hakol, it comes to include such a person. And as the Mefarshim, the Rishonim already point out, our Mishnah seems to be going in reverse order. First, the Mishnah teaches us Hakol, that a Chatzi Eved Chatzi Ben Chayrim is obligated in Oyla Regel, and then the word Advadim Shenim Shechrorim teaches us that he's exempt. Says the Mefarshim, Mishnah Leizotzim Mekaymai. They used to learn the Mishnayis Balpeh, and therefore the words of the Mishnah were kept even though they were no longer relevant. So a person who's a half Eved is chayiv to be half Eved, half Ben Chayim, is chayiv to be Oyla Regel. Ask the Turi Eved. The halacha, the Gemara says in Masechta Rosh Hashanah, is that someone who's a chatzi Eved, chatzi Ben Chayim, has the obligation to hear shofar, but he can't blow the shofar for himself because part of him is an Eved. And an Eved is not mechuyev in tekiya shofar. So someone who's not mechuyev in tekiya shofar cannot be mighty someone that cheres tzad cheres shaboy that is obligated in tekiya shofar. So why is it different here by Elila Regal? Explains the Brisker Rav in answer to the Tori Evans Kasha. Someone who's an Eved, why is he not obligated to be Elila Regal? Because the Pasuk says, Bnei Adon Hashem. Only one who has one Adon HaKadosh Baruch Hu is obligated in Aliyah L'Regel. This person who has two Adonim is not. So Stada Gemara is teaching us, since he's going to have to be freed, he's not considered like a person who has two masters. But as long as he's not freed, explains the Brisker Rav, he still is a Chatzi Eved Chatzi Ben Chayrim. And since he's a Chatzi Eved Chatzi Ben Chayrim, the part that's Eved cannot be Moitzi, the part that's a Ben Chayim. So our Gemara explained that why do we have to free him? Because the situation that he's in is an untenable situation. He cannot get married, and the world needs people to get married to populate the world. The Tosfos points out that our Gemara seems to say that his master's situation is fine, it's his situation is tenuous. Tosfos seems to say that another Gersa, that his master situation is also not good, because until now he was able to get married and the children would be the masters. Now he cannot get married to anyone, and therefore he cannot get married and there's no children to the Odin. So Tosfos has a Gersa that the Odin situation is not fine. The Tosfos asks, why can't he marry another woman who's in the same status as him? A Chatzi Shivcha and Chatzi Ben Chayrim. Explains Tosfos, this is the way the Tashvatz explains Tosfos' Teretz. He says that there are two types of mixtures in the world. Sometimes we'll have a situation where a donkey and a horse will mate together, and the produce will produce a mule. A mule is not a half a donkey and half a horse. A mule is a new breed. It's a new creation called a preda, called a mule. On the other hand, someone who's a chatzi shifcha and chatzi eved chatzi ben chayrim, it's not a new creation called chatzi eved chatzi ben chayrim. He's half eved and half ben chayrim. He has both parts to him. And since he has both parts to him, and this woman also remains someone who's a chatzi shifcha bas chayrim, also has these two parts to her, and therefore we're concerned that the eved part will live with the bas chayrim part, and vice versa. Tosfos asks, the Gemara says here that we need him to get married because of the mitzvah of l'shevus yitzara. So firstly, the Mefarshim will discuss, why doesn't the Gemara mention the obligation of pruravu, which is a pasuk in the Torah? Why does the Gemara mention l'shevus yitzara? So the Chasam Sofer actually explains, the Gemara is trying to prove how important the mitzvah of pruravu is, by showing that there's a concept of l'shevus yitzara behind pruravu. Other mefarshim explain as follows: if the entire issue were pruravu, that would not be an issue, because the Torah gives us a mitzvah of pruravu, but sometimes we don't have to do the mitzvah. So if this person is a chatzi eved chatzi ben chayrim, he isn't obligated in the mitzvah. There's no concern if he can't do the mitzvah. But our Gemara teaches us there's another issue, l'shevus yitzara, that everybody has to see that the world be populated. That is relevant even to this person who's chatzi eved and chatzi ben chayrim. And therefore, the Gemara quotes l'shevus yitzara. Ask Tosfos, then why don't we say that essay doicha leisa say, the essay pruravu, the essay of l'shevus yitzara should be doicha the leisa say of lo yeh kaddish lo yeh kadesha. So Tosfos answers that to say essay doicha leisa say, we could only say essay doicha leisa say if both are happening at the same time. He says, however, the essay of pruravu, one is only mekayim when one does the gemarbiya. The leisa say is already at the beginning of the bia. Then, therefore, we cannot say esa doicha leisa say. Another teretz is that we don't say esa doicha leisa say unless there are no other options. Hence, since here there are other options, one is the option of being freed. Another option is, as Tosfos says, why shouldn't this eved be allowed to marry a mamzeris? An eved is eved that's freed is allowed to marry a mamzer, an eved that's not free, so let him marry a mamzeris. Tosfos says that's not an option because we don't want to have more mamzerim in Klal Yisrael. So that's only something that we don't want, that the eved doesn't want, that Chazal don't want, but it is a halachic option to prevent us from being able to say etzei doicha leisa say. Another teretz given is that Eser Doicha Leisa say applies to the Eved, but doesn't apply to the woman. She also has a lav of Lo Yeh Kaddish, Lo Yeh Kadesha, Lo Yeh Kaddish B'nei Yisrael. That lav applies to her. She doesn't have to marry this person, and therefore we don't say Eser Doicha Leisa say. And the Tori Evin says one more teretz. He says we do not say the concept of Eser Doicha Leisa say on an essay that was given before Matan Torah. His proof is that the halacha is that there was a concern that Klal Yisrael had when they came to Yisrael, how would they be able to make matzahs? They only had tefuah that was chadosh, new tefuah, that may not be eaten until the second day of Pesach, and matzahs we know have to be eaten on the first day. So the Mefarshim asked, why don't we say essay doicha leisa say? The essay of eating matzahs should be doicha the leisa say of eating chadosh. So the answer is because an essay of eating matzah, which was given before Kabbalah Satira, cannot be doicha leisa say. Similarly, pruravu, which was said already in Pashpirashis, cannot be doicha the leisa say of loye kadosh, which was given after Matan Torah. So therefore, given that there is no choice, the master has to free him. Ask the Rishonim. The halacha is that we say ein oimrim l'adam chatei b'shvil shi'iska chavercha. We don't tell a person to do an avera to save another person. There's an essay of l'oilam b'hem tavoidu. The one must always work with his slaves. So how could why should the master be over l'oilam b'hem tavoidu just to free the slave so he should be able to get married and have children? So some Rishonim want to suggest that Loilam Behem Tavoidu is not considered a full-fledged assay that one is over. Another pshat that I saw in the Rishonim is that when is there a concept of Ein Oyim Olam Chatei B'Shvil Shizka Chavercha? The Gemara discusses Masech the Shabbos, where one on Shabbos went and put a dough into an oven. And if the dough will come to be baked, he'll be over Chil Shabbos. So his friend doesn't have to take out the dough, even though taking out an unbaked dough from an oven is only Issad Rabbanon, to save his friend from being even over an Issad Araisa. But that's because the friend put himself into that situation. The Eved and Aron Gemara did not put himself into the situation. And therefore, the master, given, as Tosfos says, Loilam Behem Tavoidu is an essay kal, it's not a very serious essay. The Adon should be over that essay in order to allow the Eved to get married. Another pshat that I saw is, and Ritva says, that why is there a din of Loilam Behem Tavoidu, that we always have to work with our slaves? Because the Torah says, Loisachonim, we're not allowed to give them a matnas chinam, a gift for nothing. And freeing them is a violation of Loisachonim. However, if there's a purpose to be Mekayim a mitzvah, as an Aul Gemara, that will not be considered a violation of Loisachonim, a violation of Loilam Behem Tavoidu. Teaches us the Gemara that he should write a shtar for the amount that he owes the Adon and go out. And as Taisa says, even Shmuel, who Masech the Gittin says that a shtar is not always necessary when an Eved is freed. In this case, we're freeing the Eved because Chazal, so to speak, force the Adon to free the Eved. Here a shtar must be written. So Mishnah said, Chutz Micheres Shoyt V'Katan, these people are exempt from Aliyah L'Regel. K'tani Cheresh Dumi D'Shoyt V'Katan, says the Gemara, the Cheresh that's discussed in our Mishnah is similar to a Shoyt V'Katan. Ma Shoyt V'Katan, the Labnei Din, they're not mentally competent. Af Cheresh that our Mishnah is referring to is a Cheresh that's Labba Deyuhu. It's teaching us as the Mishnah taught us, the cherish the Chazal always referred to is a cherish enish mevein medaber, a deaf mute who cannot hear nor speak. Hamedaber ven shmeya, if he could speak and not hear, shmeya ven medaber, or he could hear and not speak, chayev, he is chayev in alil regal. Says the Gemara Tanina Lahot Tana Rabbanan, our Mishnah corroborates what we learned in a Braisa, and from here we see that this Braisa should be considered an authentic Braisa, that Medabe Ve'ene Shemeya, someone who's a deaf mute, Zeh Cherish. A Medabe, someone could speak and not hear, is called a Cherish. Shemeya Ve'ene Medabe, somebody could hear and not speak, Zeh Elam is called an Elam. Zeh Ve'zeh, both of them halachically, Harei and Kapichi called Vrem, are considered mentally competent. Ask the Gemara, how do we know that someone who could speak and not hear is considered a cherish? And shemei ve'en medaba, someone who could hear and not speak is considered an elaim? Because the pasuk says in Tehillim, v'nika cherish lo eshma, a cherish is one who can't hear, uki elam lo yiftach piv, elam who cannot speak. Vibai Seima, another proof that Elam refers to someone who can't speak. Kreamri Inche Ishtakel Malule. His speech was taken away from him. That's an Elam. Farshim asks, why do we need the Vibai Seima? The Pasik is such an obvious proof that that's considered that an Elam is someone who can't speak. So Farshim answer that one would think that if I didn't have this Vibai Seima, I would think that an Elam, that someone who can't speak is not someone who can't speak and hear maybe is also considered an elaim. Tells us the Gemara, elaim is a shtaka malulei, and elaim only refers to someone who can't speak but he can hear. Bedaber ven shmeya, someone who could speak but not hear. Shmei ven bedaber, someone who could hear and not speak. Chayiv is chayiv in all the mitzvahs. Ask the Gemara Tanya, we learned in the Braisa, Medaber ve'en Shemeya, or Shemeya ve'en Medaber is Potter from Alila Regal. Omer Vina v'temerava, Ksuri mechzvachatani. This is the way to understand. Hakel chayavim b'riyah b'simcha. All are obligated in Chiv Aliyah L'Regel, and all are Chiv of Shalmi Simcha. Chutz Mecheresh Medaber Ve'en Shemeya, and a Shemeya Ve'en Medaber, Shepotim in Ariyah, that he's not obligated in Riyah, whether it means like the Rambam, the Chiv to Riyah's Ponim, or Kohen Taisus, it also includes the carbon. Va'abi Shepotim in Ariyah, even though such a person is pot from Oilus Riyah, Chayiv B'Simcha. He's Chayiv to bring Shalmi Simcha. However, someone who's Einish Veshein Eloishmei Veloi Medaber, he's a deaf mute, Veshoit Vekotin, they are part of Afmin Simcha. Not only are they exempt from Dailus Riyah, they're also part of from the Shalmi Simcha, Hoyle Patur Mikal Mitzvahs of Murs Patira, given that they're mentally incompetent, they're part of from all Mitzvahs in the Torah, which includes both the Dailus Riyah and the Shalmi Simcha.